Hello, and welcome to the Recon Ride. I'm Dane Cash.
And I'm Cosmo Catalano.
And we're back. We're here again to chat about the Breton Classic, West France.
GP Plouay.
Yeah, or
no?
GP West France. Something like that.
It's the word Plouay, which is awkward for non-Francophones, is out of the title now.
Yeah,
right?
It's actually been out of the title for a while. I think it's part of a larger conglomerate of races. It's a racing weekend, and I think that has the name Plouay in it, you know, the 4 days of Plouay. But
okay.
This is now completely unrelated, apparently. The Breton Classic, it's got a new name again, but still the same kind of race. And you know, while they can't really seem to settle on a name for this event, it is usually really an entertaining race. I would say there's a very high ratio of race quality, excitement, to name recognition. Because a lot of people, I think, could enjoy this race if they knew what it was. Unfortunately, they don't. In that way, it's kind of opposite to, say, Milano-San Remo, which has a really big reputation. And as you know, if you listen to me talk about it on this show, I kind of think it's kind of boring.
You know, I think there are some similarities here with this race and Milan-San Remo, and that there could stand to be a little more incentive to attack prior to the closing circuit of the race. But at the same time, I see where you're coming from, and I think it's a pretty good race. I think it would be a better race outside of France. It is a rare kind of French non-ASO event, which is cool. But as you may have gathered from our intro, this race is incredibly poorly branded. Like, there is a lot of history here that is kind of completely lost because they keep changing the name of the event. I mean, once Strada Bianca found a race title that they could handle and deal with, they stuck with it. And, you know, as an American, I probably shouldn't be making these points because we're constantly changing the name of things based on sponsorship rights. But this just appears to be people screwing around with the name of the race for no apparent reason. And I think, you know, in some respects, France may be spoiled in that they have the Tour de France. They have a bunch of other races. If this were like, if this race were in the Netherlands at this time of year, it would be, you know, like Amstel Gold Part 2. It would be a big deal. People would pack the course. It'd get on TV. It'd be a huge thing. But France, it's kind of like, we have this other World Tour race. But, you know, nobody really cares. So we're just going to do our weird little thing. And I think to have some pressure kind of drive in this race in a more professional direction would be really good for it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those races that just the fact that it's World Tour is a big reason why anybody goes, because it does not have the buzz around it that other races do. Riders still attend, though. Big names come here because it's a World Tour event. So yeah, maybe if they moved it or branded differently or both, you might actually get a level of buzz that matched the start list, and also just the general excitement of the race, because it does usually have a pretty good battle here. It's hard to say whether this is going to come down to a sprint or to a late attack, and I think they balance the parkour really well, although the parkour is pretty different this year. The finale is the same, so I think we're going to get that same kind of showdown, sprinters versus attackers, and that should lead to an exciting event, even if you have to dig kind of far down the Twitter feed to find out what happened on Sunday. But nevertheless, should be a good one. So let's talk about the route. So as I said, there are some changes to the route this year, some big ones, in that this race has been a circuit race, and I think it's done a pretty good job of showcasing the benefits of a circuit race. This year, they sort of changed the format in that they've made it more of a point-to-point event. There's 200-plus kilometers of riding around Brittany, West France, hence the name. But then they do finish on that old circuit, so we still get that kind of iconic, insofar as you can use that word, iconic for this race finale. The Côte de Thimerec final climb should be a good one, as usual. We still get that. It's just going to come after 230 kilometers of riding through the countryside instead of riding on this loop. And I think the race is slightly harder than it used to be because it's a little longer now. The total distance now up to 249 kilometers or thereabouts. And I think that's going to be more in favor, slightly, of the attackers, although who knows?
You know, I just cut in for a second and say that I don't know if I entirely... I don't know if I am this much behind the new race course. Like, it's cool, I guess, but I kind of like having it as a circuit. I just wish there were, like, a city or something. Some sort of centralized gathering for people, like the bottom of the Cowberg, to really become... to really bring that physical presence of being in an area into the race. Like, I get this way, maybe they can get a little more money by making it go through all these little villages and municipalities, but... to me, there are already enough races that do that, and I think it's cool that they've reused a finishing circuit that is, you know, it's established that it is a pretty good way to finish a bike race, but I don't know. I just feel like something is lost here.
Yeah, I agree 100%. If you read my Twitter feed during the Canadian GPs, or if you've listened to us talk about the Canadian GPs, you'll hear me constantly praising the circuit method there, because I really think it's a great way to run a race. It's a very efficient way to run a race. You don't need to cordon off huge swaths of land the same way that you kind of need to for a point-to-point event. And I totally agree. I think this could be better executed as the circuit race it used to be. I do think you kind of hit the nail on the head there, though. From what I understand, I think they kind of just wanted to showcase more of Brittany, make this more of a tour of Brittany in general. And so they wanted to show more of the countryside, which maybe, you know, financial pressures led them to do that, but I agree 100%.
Yeah, again, if you want to see the Breton countryside, wouldn't you watch the Trobriand, which is ridiculous? I mean, you've got guys going through culverts on dirt paths. It's beautiful. It's raw. It's rustic. Like, that's a great event to show off Brittany, and you can't see it outside of France. Like, I get where they're coming from a business perspective, but I feel like they're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe they're sort of inspired by that to go into the countryside. And maybe we'll see the dirt and cobblestones here in a couple of years. Who knows?
All right.
The circuit that they do finish on, pretty much headlined by two climbs, really one in particular, but you get the Côte de Luzon, which is pretty short, couple percent gradient. Nothing too challenging. Then there's a long, not that hard descent to the foot of the Côte de Timorec, which is the kind of marquee climb of this race. It's like a kilometer long, but the gradient gets up to 10% and over it at points on the way up. And then you're only just under 5K from the finish. So it does make it pretty hard to tell whether an attack launched in that final climb will stick to the finish. And it has, in the last couple of years, succeeded, and it has also not succeeded. We saw Sylvain Chavanel win with an attack late, and we've seen plenty of attacks swallowed up leading to sprint finishes in the last couple of years.
It's unique in that it's a very unfriendly stretch of road to try and get away on. You almost always see people get separation, but the climb kind of has it really takes its time to actually get to the high point. So there's a steep section, and you come onto this, you know, two-lane, I don't know. American English is bad at describing highways, but it's a pretty big road. Yeah, it's a wide road. And so, you know, you've made a separation, but you've got all this space for people to kind of gather up and build a chase behind you, and it's very fast and open, and there are not a lot of sharp corners coming into the finish line. So you really need a lot of space to make this one stick, and people have done it. It's just, it's not... visually, it's very challenging to pick whether it's going to be that sprint or whether it's going to be an escape group getting clear.
Yeah, you can see a guy get away and get what appears to be pretty good distance, but he'll get swallowed up when you maybe don't expect him to, because there's so much room to get caught. And that's what makes this race pretty exciting. That's what we were talking about earlier. I think it's just hard to predict, even up to the final 5 minutes, what's going to happen. So that's the route and the way that it's going to, we think, affect the racing. The start list, strong as ever, plenty of big names here, and really, you know, of the 200 or so guys coming to the race, it seems like, to me, like 190 of them could potentially win this race. This is going to be a tough one to call, so let's try to name some favorites, but it's going to be hard to really put anyone in you know, top tier here, because there's just so many potential guys who could win this race.
Yeah, I guess. But again, go through the recent list of winners. You know, Alexander Kristoff, Sylvain Chavanel, Pippo Pizzato, Edvald Boasenhagen. These are not, you know, complete no names. You gotta have some skills to win this race.
Yeah, I guess it's not so much that it goes to guys who don't deserve it. It's just that it's definitely gone to guys who weren't expected to win when they won. I mean, Pezzato, when he beat Nizzolo, I mean, he hadn't won anything in years. And 2014, when Chavanel won, that was a huge surprise. Andrea Fetti came in second that year. That's not a guy you really see coming into a podium on a World Tour race very often. In fact, he's never, ever done it before. So I think there are guys, they definitely deserve to win, but maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's something to having that experience, because a lot of those guys have been, guys with strong palmares who just, you didn't quite expect to win that particular race. So let's get into a little more in depth, the start list and who we think has a shot to win this race. All right, so let's talk about the start list and all these potential winners here. I think it's worth maybe kicking off the conversation with last year's winner, Alexander Kristoff. Seems as good a place as any to get started. Kristoff, definitely fast. Definitely the kind of guy who can win a long one-day race with some topographical challenges in it, which is why he won this race last year, which is why he won maybe Tour of Flanders last year. That's why he's won Milano San Remo. This year, you know, he's certainly worth a favorite conversation, but it's been kind of a slow couple months for him. His Tour de France didn't quite go according to plan, hit a couple of second places, didn't actually win any stages. He won a stage in Norway, but, you know, the competition up there wasn't as strong as it's going to be here. And then last week in Hamburg, he wasn't really up there in the sprint. You know, he was fifth in the end, and really he was sixth because Nasser Buhani was the fastest. So yeah, it's just hard to say what kind of form he's in. You know, he's preparing for Worlds, which he has a good shot at winning, but he just hasn't quite shown that top level of ability just yet. Another guy who tends to do really well in this race, and who tends to do really well in Hamburg for that matter, Giacomo Nizzolo, who very, very nearly won the GP Plouay a couple years ago when he was beaten out by Filippo Pezzato at the line. He's been in the top 10 four times, I think. So if this comes down to a sprint, watch out for Nizzolo, because he's just, you know, he's always near the front in this race, and he definitely knows how to ride it. He's ridden it so many times. There's a lot of strong names here on the start list who haven't raced this event that often, and I think it's going to come in handy knowing these climbs here and knowing this circuit, and you can bet on Nizzolo knowing it. Whether he's actually going to have enough in the tank to win, well, that's going to be hard to say, because he's had some trouble actually turning near misses into victories, but certainly going to be up there, I would think.
Another guy who definitely showed what he could do last weekend was Nasser Buhani. Unfortunately, he also showed some other stuff he can do, which I don't know. I'm not a big fan of results changing. I think I understand where the judges were coming from, but I don't know that I was totally on board with it. But yeah, a guy who's looked very fast, hasn't had the greatest seasons of late, but you can't deny that, you know, he was the fastest guy there. And, you know, this is a big, I think this is probably a pretty big race for him, given that it is in France and big audience.
He also, he's shown a nice ability to get over climbs in the last two or three years that we didn't really know he had until recently. So I think that's another thing to keep in mind here.
John Degenkolb also pretty fast. Still, I think getting used to there's so much just reaction in sprinting that having the finger injury that he had is just like, I can't imagine sprinting in Cat 3 like that. So to see him come back as well as he has sort of at Tour of California and other races, it's tough to make him a top contender yet. But, you know, this would be a great, great way to reestablish himself with a victory here. Arnaud Démare, another guy, another fast Frenchman, another person with his eye on this race, and another, you know, he's had that breakthrough and he had that San Remo, but at the same time, he hasn't really confirmed it. This would be a great chance for him to do that. Michael Matthews, a guy who almost to me seems custom tailored to this race course. He's still, I don't want to say he's struggling with distance, but he tends to be better at stage race finishes like this, but this sort of hilly but not super duper hard hills finish is the sort of thing he's really good at. Can show a fast turn of speed, especially late in the race where you have a lot of people tired. He can really have that 50 meters like an Oscar Freire, where he can really just outsnap people who have tired legs.
Yeah, you're right. He definitely shown a little bit more ability in the stages of stage races than in the one day events, but he keeps coming close. You know, last year he had a couple really strong performances in one day events, and I think this is the level of one day event that it'd be really great for him to pick up a win in, and then he could, you know, have the confidence to go into like a monument next year, San Remo, EMSO Gold, etc., with that already taken care of, you know, a one day world tour win. And I think this is a good opportunity for him. So you'd expect him to be motivated, even though he hasn't really raced since Ride London, which was last month. A couple other sprinters maybe to throw in there. Denny Van Poppel was really good at Hamburg last week. Hard to say how well he'll cope with the distance, the climbs here, but certainly a guy to watch. Ben Swift, another one of those versatile, you know, kind of like Michael Matthews, capable of hanging on with a tough parcours. And then a rider worthy of not just being in the they can only win it in the sprint conversation, really worthy of a category of his own. Peter Sagan is going to be at the Bretagne Classic, West France, GP West France, Plouay.
Peter Sagan, the mountain biker?
Yeah, former Olympic mountain biker. He's trying out the road. I don't know how well he'll do because, you know, it's hard to make that transition. But, yeah. You know, he's a really talented guy, so he could pull something off. In all seriousness, though, I do kind of wonder how well he'll do in a 250-kilometer road race after having been training for mountain biking for the last several months. I'm sure he'll be okay, but it's not going to be that easy, I wouldn't imagine, to just get right back on and get right back into a race like this. On the other hand, this is pretty much a perfect race for Peter Sagan. I mean, this is like the perfect profile. This is a lot like the Richmond Parcours with the kind of late topography that he was able to succeed on in Richmond. He can win this in a sprint. He can win with an attack. We've seen a couple of sprints here that have come down to large sprints, but they've been won by guys like Sagan because the pure sprinters were, you know, worn out even though they were there at the finish. So it wouldn't really be all that surprising to see him win even in a mass sprint in this particular race. And then, of course, with an attack is also a way he could go. So Sagan, definitely got to watch out for. It's just hard to say what to expect from him. Speaking of Olympians, speaking of guys who can sprint, guys who can attack, Greg Van Avermaet is a guy with all the skills to win this race, a guy with all the skills to win this race multiple times, I think. He attacked late last year. It didn't quite work out for him, but I think it, you know, easily could have, and it easily could work again this year if he tries. He hasn't raced since the Olympics, but he did a pretty good job in Rio.
I don't know if hasn't raced is as accurate as like has been just pounding beers because holy shit, he won the Olympics.
Maybe,
and he's
yeah.
from a country that cares about
they
cycling.
They do care, don't they, in Belgium? He's been strong for months on end.
He's been having a great year. One of my friends actually called it at Torino Adriatico. He's like, dude, year of GVA.
It really has been.
And I was like, he's been going great.
And especially since he had that rough run in the classics where he had the injury and we expected a lot from him. And then it all kind of came crashing down, unfortunately for him, because of an injury. He kind of came back with a vengeance, won a Tour de France stage and then an Olympic gold medal. I do wonder how much he's going to care about this race. But because he has tried to win it in the past, I'm going to assume he'll try to win it if given the opportunity again. And I think he's got a great chance given his skill set. He's definitely got to watch out for.
Yep. Rui Costa has probably not been pounding beer since, he's a guy who has done very well in the past and was always up there, but he's really kind of lacking a big win recently. And this could be a place where he could pull one over on everyone else who may be taking this race less seriously, having been pounding beer since their Olympic victory.
Similar vein of punchy guys who do have a decent sprint. Tony Galopin is a rider definitely worth watching here on, I mean, can we call him home roads? It's France. Would you call it home roads if I were racing in New York? Not really, but whatever. It's France. He's racing in France. He does well in France. Galopin does. And it's a race in particular that I think suits his talents. He's had kind of a quiet year, but he did do really well in San Sebastian. He was second there. So that would suggest that he's feeling all right now. And he does tend to do quite well here at the end of the season in the late summer races, West France and then Quebec and Montreal coming up. So I would expect the form to be pretty strong.
I'm looking at my outline here, and some joker has put on Sylvain Chavanel.
Who's that?
Of Direct Energy. He is a great rider. Don't get
me
wrong.
Are you capable of saying his name without saying wait for it first? Because that you just blew my mind just now.
Well, you know, he hasn't been the sort of wait for it rider. He's actually ridden pretty well to try and set people up, which is more than I can say for another rider on his team. You'll never guess who. But honestly, I think his teammate Brian Cocard has a great shot of winning this race. He's a quick sprinter. He's a guy who's smaller and can hold on over the climbs. He also, I think, would benefit from a less well-organized race. You see him in actual lead-out sprints. You see him going all over the place, just zipping left and right, trying to find a wheel. I think in a smaller group where there is more chaos, he would, you know, maybe be a little bit less tempted to try and weave through traffic like that. You know, just kind of sit in and wait and go fast at the end, which is the most successful strategy. Though there are tons of guys who could win this from an attack. You got Tim Wellens, who is a notorious attacker who could ride very well in the finale of this race with Tony Gallopin. Michael Albacini, a guy who had a great Liège-Bastogne-Liège. Again, a different race course than this, but certainly showed no shortage of ability and known to be a someone who can make a separation or follow a separation and then win it with a kick. Tommy Hilfiger is a guy who has shown an ability to go kind of earlier in races. It would be really cool to see this race won by a break that didn't happen in the final circuit. I don't see it coming together, but if it does, Slachter is a guy who should be on that list of people to watch. Sepp van Marke is a guy who is, you know, has everything going in his favor to be that great classics rider and just hasn't been able to put it together. He's had terribly timed flats. He's had bad luck. He's had occasionally questionable, but not always questionable team support. And, you know, he's, have I already used the phrase Memphis Bleek of cycling?
You may have used that once or twice. Yeah.
He's, you know, he's one hit away. And this could be that hit.
Your knowledge of rap is, I don't want to say surprising. You're an eclectic person, but you know, just the fact that you can throw that around is, it impresses me. It does.
I really like that phrase.
All right. Really, the list is long of guys who can win this race, either from an attack or in a sprint. We could go on and on. Carlos Betancourt is here, by the way. That's just worth mentioning, I think, because actually, let me rephrase that. Carlos Betancourt is on the provisional start list. We know how subject to change that is, but it's worth mentioning. He's a guy who could win. He's a guy who is interesting to watch. You never know. I'm just going to be glad to see him racing if he's even here. We'll see if they pull him at the last minute. So that's the rundown of guys we think have a chance here, and there are more we could probably name if given the time. Let's try to pick out some favorites, though. All right, I'm going to go with Greg Van Avermaet as my winner pick here. I think he's as likely to win.
Hashtag year of GVA.
That's right, year of GVA, and this is a great race for him. Hopefully he hasn't chugged too many beers since Rio. I mean, one or two, he's probably fine. And this is a good race for him, but who knows with this parkour. I'm going to go to Van Avermaet winning from a late attack, though, with, let's say, Rui Costa getting up there, too. I think he's got a great chance. And I think Nasser Buhani maybe wins the sprint behind, or, you know, at least if I put him on my podium, and then if it does come down to a sprint and he wins, I'm sort of okay, I think, from a prediction standpoint. So that's my three.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go with the group finish. You know, I think it's really hard to get away here. I think we've been treated to escape finishes recently. I think they are less likely than the rate this race has historically produced them at. I am also picking Nasser Buhani. I do not expect him to get relegated. I think he will finish the race and win the race more or less cleanly as anyone else sprints. I am going to pick Giacomo Nizzolo in second. I know. But I mean, second place in a World Tour race is a big deal.
It's good. Yeah, that's why he's got a job, I think.
And I'll put Christoph in third. You know, he's kind of rebuilding a little bit. He's getting some speed, but he's not quite there yet. But yeah, I really think, you know, we may see 4 or 5 years before we get another escape at this race.
Fair enough. We will see what happens here in a couple of days. Hope you enjoy the race. Hope you watch the race. It really is a good race, even if you probably have no idea who won 2 years ago or 3 years ago, like you might otherwise know who won Flanders 2 or 3 years ago. Regardless of its prestige, it's a good race, usually entertaining, at least the last half hour or so. So tune in if you got the time in between the Vuelta, etc. Speaking of the Vuelta, we'll be back pretty soon to talk Vuelta. We got the first rest day coming up here, so check back soon for that. In the meantime, yeah, enjoy the, what's this race called again? Enjoy the Bretagne Classic, GP Plouay. This has been the Recon Ride Podcast. I'm Dane Cash.
And I'm Cosmo Catalano.
And that's our show.